Welcome to Minnesota Reads. Minnesota Reads on Northland Morning is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Our guest this morning is Teresa LeFevre, and she's talking about a couple of books that she didn't read, or I'm sure she read them, but she didn't write them. Her mother wrote them. We lost Carol LeFevre in 2011. Her daughter has graciously consented to come on the air and talk about these marvelous mysteries. Hey, Teresa, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Normally, I'm not a huge fan of a foreword in a book of fiction. I always end up reading them, and then I always think, you know, it's dragged all of this real-world stuff into a story, and I want to get lost in the story. But I found that the foreword to your mom's books, Along the Journey River is the first one, and Evil Dead Center is the second, and they're mysteries set in Minnesota, just really gives so much context to the story that once I got into the story and fell headfirst, kerplop, into the story, I didn't really mind that context at all. What was your reaction when you read the foreword the first time?
I had a similar reaction. I think that Lisa Tatonetti just did a wonderful job putting my mother's life and her overall passions into context and really set the stage for the stories that she created. So I had the same reaction. You know, the foreword wasn't part of the original printing, and it was sort of to bring back, you know, sort of the need for these two books and this sort of genre in general. So I think that it really did provide a lot of context, and it I was really proud. I was amazingly proud of the work that my mother had done over the course of her life.
One of the things that we learned reading just the foreword, I'm going to talk about just the foreword for a minute, is that your mom was a pioneer when it came to the intersectionality, this place where sexuality and gender and being an Indigenous person and HIV/AIDS all kind of came together. And I'm guessing that you didn't discover these things about your mom, or you weren't really able to put them in context until you were an older person. What's that like for you now, looking at her body of work and at the things that she accomplished in her life on and off the page?
It's amazing. I mean, it's, you know, posthumously, it's always interesting to go back and see what people's interests and sort of aspects stand out to them about what my mother, you know, was involved in. You know, as a younger child, I remember getting cards from the White House. You know, President Clinton would send us, the formal card, but there would be a note there from him specifically from her work that she did on the President's AIDS Council. And so I sort of got these glimpses of kind of the far-reaching impact that she had. You know, I remember as a young child her traveling a lot. And then as I got older and I really sort of, you know, when she wrote the books for one piece, but then, you know, sort of afterwards, the reception that she received, and then even after her death, I think even more, you know, a number of scholars were really trying to understand sort of how her unique perspective really contributed this intersectionality that you just mentioned, and how incredibly impactful that was on an entire literature, but, you know, in many fields of social justice and activism. So it's a lesson that continues to unfold for me.
It was interesting to discover that she was a person who brought back a traditional phrase that had been used in a traditional way and, like so much, had almost disappeared under the crushing weight of colonization and of the boarding school system. But she brought back the phrase and the concept of two-spirit. Can you explain that a little bit for non-Indigenous folks?
Yeah. So two-spirit is the term that many Indigenous tribes use to capture sort of gender fluidity, and it can include sexuality. So it can include, you know, two spirits of the same that join together, but it can also mean sort of moving between the two spirits, you know, male and female. So it really kind of captures this idea of queer that has been found, you know, historically in many different Native, for sure, tribes, and then also, you know, obviously around Indigenous communities around the world. But two-spirit is our word.
There was there's a magical exchange that, you know, especially after, you know, you read a little bit about it, and there's a magical exchange that is real, I think, would move a lot of people to tears. Right at the beginning of this book, the woman, our female protagonist, Renee, comes home, or she's visiting her grandmother who lives nearby, and she's reflecting on her coming out to her grandmother. And her grandmother says, "Morning star stands between, not night or day, but guiding each. You live in the space between women and men. And don't be ashamed of what is. Creator made you, and we don't question the work of our creator." And that was her grandmother's response. And in non-Indigenous culture, that's not a typical response necessarily.
Agreed. And I think, you know, and it's interesting because it wasn't the response that she received personally in her own family. I think it was part of that process, that healing process that she found through writing and through creating fiction, and then her own spiritual journey through, you know, her Indigenous history, and finding that there was likely somebody out there who would have had that reaction to her, even though her family, very post colonization, did not have that same kind of scope that they looked at her with.
Well, it is an amazing thing how through art we can go back and kind of get our do-overs sometimes, you know, even if we have to invent them from whole cloth. One of the final things that I found particularly fascinating about the book is, you remember when you first started to learn to read and you kept running across words that you didn't understand and you just kept reading, and eventually, sometimes maybe you'd look them up, but eventually you just started to understand them through context. Your mother very unapologetically sprinkles the story with Ojibwe words. And a couple of them are familiar perhaps to us who live in this part of the world, you know, but many are not. But you start to kind of get an idea what they mean through context, but she doesn't translate necessarily for people. Mm-hmm. She doesn't kind of try to spoon feed you what this means. It's as though the words have a right to be there on the page and they don't need to explain themselves.
Absolutely. And I think that was a lot of her philosophy in writing these books, was that she wanted them to be accessible to a specific, you know, to a grand audience and also a specific audience, unapologetically Native. I think that was, you know, that was the shift in her work outside of her literary advances, was really that same sort of message, that there was nothing to apologize for being Native, and you could be accessible, but not in, you know, not in a way that you felt like you had to bring people along. I think it also spoke a lot to how she handled, you know, younger souls in the world, kids, animals. She treated them as equals, but with enough love and support that you could sort of get the meaning from the context. And I think that that was just sort of true to the way her brain saw the world, that you didn't need to break it down in a way that would be,
patronizing almost.
Else.
Almost exactly. Patronizing. And she, figured, you're clever, you're going to be able to figure this out. And of course, she dedicated the book to her dog. The protagonist has this wonderful relationship with, you know, she talks to her dog, and those of us who talk to our dogs, we're like, okay, mm-hmm. We know where this woman's head is. We understand this about her. Teresa, thank you so much for taking some time to share some insight into your mom and these wonderful, wonderful books of hers. I really appreciate the conversation this morning.
I really appreciate having an opportunity to speak with you. Thank you so much for starting the day this way.
Teresa Lefevre this morning. She is the daughter of Carol Lefevre, who wrote a couple of fascinating mysteries set in Minnesota. The first one is called Along the Journey River, the second, Evil Dead Center. Carol Lefevre passed in 2011. Minnesota Reads on Northland Morning is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.